It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, pick up at verse number 13. The word of the Lord says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? You may be seated. The thought that the Lord gave me is, who do you say Jesus is? Now, when Jesus was asking the disciples this question, he wasn't looking for a confession. He was looking for a statement of belief. And it's easy for us today to say what we've heard everybody else say. It's easy for us to say, because we in America, if we don't know nothing else, we know the right answers. We know how to speak what we've been taught. Because I can stand up here this morning and I could say, okay, Jesus was what? And everybody's thinking the answer, but nobody said it because they're afraid there'd be a quick trick question on them. We're real good and we're trained and not answering from our heart and not answering from what we know. But we have some folks here that Jesus asked them, he said, who do they say that I am? Well, he said, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, right away, even though they want to believe that, and may I say again to the, we went over this in the Sunday school, it doesn't matter really what I think. What matters is the truth. See, I can think all day long, brother, that shirt ain't red, and I can tell everybody that ain't red. I don't believe any such thing as red. They just ain't no red. But the fact of the matter is, it's red. And there's red there. If I choose not to believe it, don't make his shirt go pfft. And Carly's go pfft. And everybody else that's wearing red just don't go pfft and go away just because I determine I don't want to believe that. Maybe I don't like red. Right, Robbie? Amen. Robbie's a UK fan. He's not a Cardinal fan. But just because Robbie don't like red, don't make red disappear. So I want us to bear that in mind. Just because we may think or may choose to believe something, if it's not the truth, it doesn't matter. I mean, how many of us believed at one time? Well, we won't go there. We'll save that for later. So Jesus was asking them, who do they say that I am? John the Baptist. Well, I don't see how they could really say we believe you were John the Baptist when who baptized Jesus? So they seen them together. But they chose to believe that because it's easier to reckon him to be John the Baptist, as ridiculous as that may be. It's easier to reckon him to be that because if you give him credit to be Christ, then that brings a whole new situation of problems. So other folks said some Elijah because they were believing that Elijah must first come before Messiah returns. So they thought, well, we'll just credit him with that. Well, there goes the Mount Transfiguration because Jesus was seen with Elijah there. And again, if those people who believed he was Elijah said, well, he's Christ, that brings a whole nother realm of problems and complications to their life. Well, then others said, Jeremiah or one of the prophets, it's easy to give him credit of being a good man. It's easy to think of him as being a prophet because some things he said did come to pass and he taught good morals. So yeah, we can give him credit for that. But again, if they give him credit as Christ, as Messiah, then it brings a whole nother realm of problems in their life. And I wrote down as I've done a quick pull of some things of what other people, and those was the folks in Jesus' day. They couldn't believe, couldn't believe who he was because of where he was from. Some couldn't believe of who he was because of who his dad was. Some couldn't believe who he was because he was a carpenter. Maybe he made a chair or a table or a bench for him. How can that be the Christ? In today's society, the Jehovah Witnesses believe he's Michael the Archangel. The Mormon believe, out of their Journal of Discourses, says that he is the begotten of the flesh, the same character that was in the garden, being Lucifer. And then Apostle McConaughey, of the Mormon doctrine, when he wrote it out, he said that Lucifer, the son of the morning, is the elder brother of Jesus. Islam says that he is no more than a mortal who Allah had favored and made an example unto Israel and has become a prophet. The Jesus Seminar people deny that 80% of what is recorded that he said, that he even said it at all. Theologically, in many of our colleges today, they say that the fact that he was born of a virgin is somewhat ridiculous, and we should have other things that are more important that we should determine about Christ. Now, the religion of Islam says that if we will give up the deity of Jesus, that's him being born of a virgin, they ain't got a problem with him. And I ask a lot of people, who do you say that Jesus is? Not a trap question, straight gut reaction. We all know how, like I said, to answer what we're supposed to answer. But what do you really feel? What do you think? Who do you think Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? And there was quite a few that said, well, he's Savior. He's Messiah. He's Christ. And my follow-up question to them was, well, if he is Christ, then why don't you do what he commands? And you know what the overwhelming response was, the first words out of their mouth? Well, I believe, and then fill in the blank. Well, and there was one more word on there. I believe I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. I don't believe that I have to change my life to go to heaven. Because God loves everybody. I said, yes, he does. But we're talking about Jesus. Jesus spoke to a group of people and he said, why call you me Lord and do not the things I say? Now, there's some people at work that's called management. And management is over me when I'm there. They're the authority. You could be my manager. What you tell me I need to do if I'm going to stay where I get money at. I like to stay where I get money at, therefore I do what they tell me. But however, he only gets to be manager if I do what he says. If I don't do what he says, he's not my manager. He's not an authority. I have taken every bit of his authority away from him. Have we done that to Jesus in this day of age? Have we taken the true authority of Jesus away only because I choose not to believe that he actually meant what he said? So therefore, if I choose not to, if you talk with me long enough, I will be able to justify whatever it is that I do. But I will tell you, when you start a conversation with me, the more you justify it, the more I know that the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you. Who is Jesus to you? Is he fair? Is he just? Then why would he expect more out of me than he does you? So could the possibility be that Jesus speaks the same thing to everybody? Would he do that? So if he would speak the same thing to everybody, then would it really matter what I believe? Because we'll go back to Ben. If Ben says, I'm telling you this is a red shirt, and I say, sorry, Ben, I just choose not to believe that. And if we ask Ricky and say, what color is that? Ricky said a red shirt. I said, sorry, Ricky, I don't agree with that. And I'll keep going from person to person till I find someone. Jimmy's colorblind. He says, I don't see no red. And I say, that's the guy I'm hanging out with. That's my kind of guy. Yeah, he's a prophet because he believes like I believe. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both, not one, both fall in the ditch. This word, and I'll tell you, when I got saved, there was things in here that I didn't like. There was things in here that I used to just like, there's no way. May I share one of them? I just had got hard on where I work at Lowe's. And I was reading through the book of John. And I was quite frustrated, as every good employee does. I realized one thing. I worked harder than anybody in the place. And I was working harder than anybody in the place, and two people got raised and I didn't. And I was mad. Well, here comes Jesus walking right up in the middle of me, and he says, well, what about the parable that Jesus said of the man who went and got somebody early in the morning and said, I'll pay you a penny. Went and got somebody in the evening and said, I'll pay you a penny. The guy in the morning, supposing he should get more. He believed he should get more. He thought he should get more. Didn't. And he got mad at the guy. And the guy said, why are you mad at me? Didn't we agree on a penny? He said, yeah, but you gave him more, so I thought I should get more. I was like, you can forget that, Jesus. That ain't that. No. I ain't. I know what I deserve. So then I'm reading on into the scripture, and these soldiers come to John the Baptist. And them soldiers says, how is it that we may enter into the kingdom of heaven? You ain't going to believe the response. Be content with your wages. Knock my hat in the creek. That's as un-American as it can be. You're never supposed to be happy with what you make. You're supposed to make more. Come on, who in here's got a job? Who in here believes you're going to make more? I said, they can't be in there. And I tell you, when I told God, when I told the Holy Spirit, I said, that's un-American. And you know what he had the nerve to tell me? Absolutely right. This is Jewish. It's Hebrew. Your American ideals don't work. Your American ideals change who Jesus is. But I'm going to teach you. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. It took me about 6 months to get over that. It wasn't like, oh, thanks for the revelation. I'll just change it tomorrow. I'm still gritting my teeth at, how can he make this much? And the Lord set me down and said, your contract is not with him. You contracted with Lowe's for this amount. That's between you and Lowe's. He's got nothing to do with it. How about if you go to your next interview you have, hopefully you don't ever have to have one, but you go there and Rick, you say, now look, I need $15 an hour. But if anybody in the place gets hired in making more, you need to give me a raise. Or if anybody else in the place gets a raise, I get one too. But if I get one, they don't get one because I work harder than them, okay? Would that work? But how many of us believe that's the way it should be? But the reality is, Robbie used to be in management. If I interviewed that way, would I get the job? I would be a problem. But I believe I'm the man for the job. The reality is, I am not. So what we believe doesn't matter to the point unless we believe the truth. Now, if I give you all a great revelation, I say, guess what? This is a red shirt, and this is a red shirt. Yeah. It takes nothing to believe in the truth. Well, how do I know this is the truth? How many saved people has ever had Satan come and say, how do you even know what you're believing is real? Am I the only one that has ever thought that? I'll preach to you since you're shaking your head. But you know, there's no other book throughout the period of time that is constantly being scrutinized and criticized than this. The criteria for true literature is the number of times that it has been sold, translated, and repeated from the original. They'll give that credit to every single book that has been published except this one. Isn't that amazing? And you know, you can talk
about God on any situation, in any place, in any religion, and it's no problem.
Until you bring up this man, Jesus. Why? Because Jesus brings a whole new realm of responsibility. Now, Larnell Harris has a song out, and I wonder if Jesus ain't the guy that shows up the day after Thanksgiving. Well, not the day after Thanksgiving, because that's just chaotic. A couple of days after Thanksgiving, Jesus is the guy who shows up for us a little while. But this song talks about this family that is putting up all their stuff after the holiday, and this little boy comes up, and he's got the Jesus in the manger, and he says, "Do we put Jesus up too? Does your Jesus run out the week after New Year's? And I'll see you again in the winter. Can we just fold him up and put him away? I don't have to be kind and generous anymore because it's not the Christmas. Can I tell you a great revelation that God gave me? Them folks that are hungry in December are hungry in January and February and March and April and May and June and July, August, September, October, November, and back to December. Our bowels of compassion should never shut up to those that are in need. Because most of us are just a few months away from being in the same shape that they're in. Who is Jesus to you? Is he the baby that shows up on Christmas? Or can he be the man on the crucifix for Easter? With all of the stories and all of the history. Have you ever noticed what other figure within all the realm of history does anybody try over and over and over to disprove? And the very people who are trying to disprove him, Scott, will say B.C. and A.D. Yeah. If he's not there, and he's not Messiah, then who split time? If you choose not to believe him, does that make him go away? If you credit him with just a little bit, then does that make it okay? Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he Lord of your life? Now, we have to remember one thing. There were some folks that Jesus spoke to and said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you that work iniquity." Iniquity is lawlessness, having nothing to govern your body. And they said, "But wait a minute, I did this and this and this in your name." He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, I can go all day long and talk about the name of this authority and that authority, but if I don't know them, it really don't matter. Like the young man who went to a ball game and they were talking to him and he knew everything. And I know this is probably old, but you know, it's the way it is. But he hollered out, "Michael Jordan!" Knew everything about him, knew his stats, knew where he played, knew where he come up through college, just seen him, knew him. Tell everybody, "Man, I know everything, I know him." And he seen him, he said, "Michael!" And Michael went and kept walking. Could he be in the place that a lot of people is that knows everything about Jesus, but don't know him? "Well, I believe in Jesus. The Bible tells me the demons believe in Jesus." Does that mean they're right? Who is Jesus to you? That's the soul-stirring question I want to ask you this morning. Who is he to you individually? Put aside everybody that's around you, just as if you and I were in a conversation face-to-face with nobody else there. Who is Jesus to you? I can tell you what he is to me. And give you a biblical foundation for it. He is the one that paid for the crimes that I committed. He is the one that bought me out of sin. If I am purchased by Him with His blood, then that makes me a possession of Him. I don't like that. That sounds like... No. Yeah. If I'm going to call Him Christ, which is to say He is Messiah, the Chosen One, the Anointed, the Savior, then I should let Him have rule of my life. In every aspect. Not just when it's convenient, not just at church time. Those of you that are new around here, I tell my church all the time, you come in, you see me at Walmart, you see me at work, you come up to Lowe's, you see me out in the parking lot, I don't care where you see me, if I'm like acting like an idiot, put judgment on me right then. Because I need to be Christian 100% of the time. Even when I get mad. Jesus told me, you're going to get mad. You're going to be angry, but just don't sin when you do it. Well, how are you going to know that I'm mad if I don't show you? So it becomes not a thing of me being angry over what happened. It becomes a thing of my pride needing to show who I am. Jesus said, put away your pride. Take on my image. What kind of pride did Jesus have? He made Himself a servant. There was a lot of things I believe Jesus would have wanted to do. But He said, I must do the will of my Father. It's not my choice. I believe when He was growing up, it was His will to be a carpenter. But when God called Him, how many things did He go back into the carpentry business and make? That wasn't God's will for Him. After He saved me, He has been the lifter up of my head, Joan, whenever I am down and don't have nobody else to call to. And there is nobody in this world any closer to me than what my wife is. But there's things that are broke inside of me with all of the love she can show me. She can't fix, but blessed be the name of Jesus. He can walk into my life. He can walk into my heart in my deepest, darkest hour, and I can find hope where there is no hope. That's who Jesus is. He is a King with everything at His command, and He cares for me. That's who Jesus is. And He, one day, He's going to call me home. Sometimes, Wayne, I feel like it's going to be next week. Sometimes I feel like He ain't ever going to come. But the truth of the matter is, what I feel doesn't matter. The fact is, He's coming. God gave me a disturbing reality one day when I was out in the woods praying, Brian. I was sitting there and I come up on them hills. And I sat down on a stump, being in the fine shape I'm in, and I said, and then you got to lick your lips because you done dried them out. Everything's gone out of you. And God said, them last four breaths will never return. And every breath you take is bringing you closer to me. And for a minute, I was like, oh. And I was like, hey. Because after all, folks, what are we believing for? Who is Jesus? The Savior of what? The Savior of my soul. My soul was bound for hell. I was separated from God through my choice. But then I was able to make another choice after I heard the truth. You know what the first truth was? The first truth was, let's just all go to hell and we'll have a party down there. We believed that for a little while, but you know what the truth of the matter is? Ain't no party down there. Separation and blackness is what's down there. Then I heard a man declaring the truth would stand with his finger in the air and a Bible open and declare to me the truth. And I chose to believe the truth in who Jesus really was, not who I had fashioned Him to be. Not who I wanted Him to be.
I wanted him to be somebody who would overlook everything that I'd done and at the end get me out of the trouble, kind of like a lawyer. Only this day in my life, whenever I step before the judge is the lawyer who used to get me off, and he knows me.
But everything that is under the blood is done away with.
Can't you picture this in your mind, the judgment? I mean, Rick, when you get up there and you're standing before and Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is what the Bible says, correct? And you're standing there, brother, and Satan says, he's a filthy sinner. He's a whatever else he is. I know you keep records. Look in the book of life. Look in the book of remembrance and see it, God. And God says, okay, Rick.
And he'll look over at Satan and say, I don't see nothing.
You cannot lie, God. You're a true God. And I know what Rick done. And God said, I'm sorry. But it's covered in blood. I can't read a thing that's down there. What's under the blood cannot be revealed. And he just might look at you and say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of heaven. Who is Jesus to you? Do you know him that way? Do you know him as a forgiving Savior right now? Which most of us do. Do you know him as a friend and a comforter right now? Which most of us do. But do you know him as a prophet? Do you know him as a priest? Do you know him as a king? And do you know Jesus Christ as the judge of the brethren? But I just want to choose this little portion. Because the whole thing is too much. I can't trust God if I let go of who I am. Because when I come to God, folks, let me tell you the first thing he done. He said, I don't care about your reputation. I don't care about your character. I don't care about how bad you were, how much trouble you was in, where you lived, what you make, what you wear, what you dress. I don't care about none of that because my word says you must be born again. You shall be a new creature in me. I'm going to wipe out the whole realm. I don't know about y'all, but I used to think, what if I can't name all the sins that I committed? How many of you, when you got saved, could remember all the sins you ever committed? We got our three heavy ones. We knew them. We throw them out there. But what about all them little ones? When you come to Jesus, it all goes. Every bit of it. Do you know him as a forgiving Savior? Who do you, this congregation sitting here, those that are hearing by the internet or the CD, the question that is piercing to you, who do you say that Jesus is? Not who the History Channel says it is. Not who the Jesus movie says it is. Not who might have been handed down to you says it is. But the question is, burning, who do you, saved and unsaved alike, who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Separate everything that you have been taught. Let your heart speak from you. Nicodemus said, look, we know that you're a teacher that come from God. We know quite a bit about Jesus. And it gets confusing when you hear the contradicting reports that you see and they try to disprove it. And you say, well, that's viable. A young girl in college, bless my soul to hear this. Her professor was telling her that it's silly for folks to believe that the Bible is actually true literature. It's idiotic for them to take it even as history. Because everybody knows that the Bible is full of contradictions. How many of us has heard that? And the young girl said, well, may I ask a question? And he said, sure. She said, name one. He said, I cannot believe that you've been in school 2 years and everybody knows this. It's common knowledge that it's full of contradictions and you don't know any of them. It's crazy for you to believe something like that. And he turned and went back to his podium and her hand was up again. And she said, sir, can you tell me one? And he stepped down and he walked up to her and he said, are you trying to make a fool out of me? No, she wasn't. She wasn't challenging him. She was just asking. Did he give her a contradiction? No. He just believed what he was told, even though it was wrong. They said today, that professor is still looking for the contradiction. And I rejoice with that. Because every time these people who try to disprove this get in here and start reading and going through it, they come out the other side saying, hallelujah, guess what? Jesus is King. So, it lies with you. Who do you say Jesus is? Not just lost. Lost and saved together. If you need to pray during this song, come. I'd love to pray with you. If you need a closer walk, come. That's what it's all about. I like to think that this thing's just for sin, but it's for glory. It's for request. It said, let your request be made known. If you would, stand, please. 144.